Hey, we thank God for today. Amen. Today we're going to talk about a subject that does affect many people, but then we easily gloss over. So if you bow down your head, I'll pray briefly. Father, today I pray in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking for a living word. Word of hope. Word of peace. Word of life. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Speak to our minds. Speak to our spirits. Father God, speak for your people are listening. And I pray for the sake of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, let your word become flesh over our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Monica, for reading beautifully for us. That was the last minute, but you did so well. Hey, I praise God for today. We're going to talk about dealing with resentment. Dealing with resentment. We know so much about King David. Even before he ascended to the throne of Israel and during his 40-year reign as king over the United Kingdom of Israel. But not many people know that he harbored resentment in his heart, even to the point of death. The reason that came true, do you realize that they said when David was ready to go to his grave, that means when David knew that it was time for him to die, he knew that he was going to die. You see, good people always know when they are going to die. A few people don't. And David knew that he was just about to go to death. And then, look at one of his last words that he gave to his son. He says, "My son, I know you are a wise man." That's very nice, isn't it? To say that to have your parent dying and they call you and say, "Declan, you know what? I know you're a nice man." And indeed, you're a nice man, Declan, but I'm not dying yet. He says, "I know you're a nice man. I know you're a man of wisdom. It's my prayer that you do what God wants you to do. And if you keep the word of God and obey it and teach your children to obey it and you walk before God, God will always keep his promises towards you." That was so very nice. But then he remembered some people. One was Joab. We'll talk about him. And the other one was Shimei. And his story or his word to his son Solomon, who is going to reign over him because he had anointed him to be the next king. His words were, "Remember Joab. Remember what he did. And please do not let him go to death in peace." Literally, kill him before he dies. Remember Shimei. You know his story. We will learn about it. And if you follow the daily reading this week, you actually have a chance to engage with God's word so that you can understand even more and for God to give you more revelation. So remember Shimei. Remember what he did to me. Make sure, my son, that he also does not go to his grave in peace. And that was David saying this. Such last word to tell your son. It shows that David had harbored these things in his heart for several years. Remember, he reigned for 40 years as king. And the time that we are talking about is about 10 to 15 years before he was going to die. This event took place that long. So for 10 to 15 years, he harbored this pain. And yet, David was God's man. David was anointed by God to be king of Israel to replace Saul, who had no heart for God. David killed Goliath. We know that when Saul and the army of Israel were running away from the Philistines. David was pursued by Saul to kill him, but the Lord protected him. David turned over 200 worthless men, people who slept rough, people who were drug addicts, people who were prisoners released, people who had nothing to own in their lives. He turned them into noble men who stood with him and made him king and made sure that his kingdom was established. People who fought life and death just to protect the king so that David would become king. That was David. David knew God up close and personal. Yet this same David we are talking about today is the man who called his son and said, you know what? I won't tell you what is in my heart, but actually I want you to read through it. You are a wise man. That's exactly what he's saying. He says, read my lips. Feel my heart. There's pain in my heart. These people, I wanted to get rid of them. I couldn't for whatever reason, but I want you to carry my resentment and make sure that you get rid of them. 10 to 15 years, he carried this. And yes, David was God's man. Of course, we know about David and his famous mistakes that he made by taking his army captain's wife and killed the husband and lied about it and covered it up until Nathan the prophet exposed him. But God loved David, not because of his sins, but because David knew how to confess his sins and not go back to do the same thing again. David had a heart after God. He kept God's word. He faithfully worshiped God and did what pleases him. In fact, the Apostle Paul recounted the history of the Israelites when he was in Antioch. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, we read, after removing Saul, he, God, made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. David will do everything that God wants him to do because he had a heart for God, but he had mistakes. And this same David that we are talking about, a man after God's heart, and yet he harbored so much resentment. We say of David in our time that he was a true Christian, a disciple and faithful follower of Jesus. In other words, David was church, as many of us are. Yet there was something in his heart he never let go. And that thing is called resentment. And this is something that we need to deal with that. You can hide, you can cover it up, but even at your point of death, it will come through. But even as we progress this message, you see how nice or how helpful or how dangerous resentment could be. You may be in your right to be resentful. To be resentful, I would say, it's a choice. You choose to be resentful or you choose to let go. It doesn't mean that the pain that you are going through is not real. It doesn't mean that the disappointment that you are going through didn't happen. It doesn't mean that the hurt that you are going through doesn't exist. It is real. It doesn't mean that the person who caused those pain did not ever live. The person is real. You probably know the person's face. You probably have met the person. You probably hear the person's voice. And you're walking in pain and hurt. And probably he or she doesn't even care. Resentment is a choice. And today, even as we look back at this passage again, we would like to bring ourselves to that point to understand that resentment is indeed a choice. One can choose to be resentful all the ways of your life, or all the days of your life, just like David did. He chose to be resentful. Meaning, he chose to be angry. He chose to be indignant. He chose to be offended and aggrieved. He chose to be annoyed. He chose to feel insulted and bitter toward those who hurt him, who disrespected him, who despised him. I will not let go. But I will say, let go so that you can receive God's healing in your life. Hallelujah. See, what happened to David was real. He wasn't imagining it. At a time, I believe Solomon was even very young and he might not even understand it. And some of this event, according to my understanding of the Bible, when it was happening, Solomon was not even present. And these things indeed did happen. Resentment is a choice. We need to let go to receive God's healing. Resentment is being calculated and reckoning. It's just like an accountant, a bookkeeper entering a number into a ledger for the purpose of keeping track of it, or for the purpose of keeping record of it. We choose to keep record so we can keep track. We have a choice to let go and not keep that record all wrong. You see, and being of someone from finance background, I understand that if you have a transaction, you have to record it, not only to remember, so that you can keep track of it to know how you are doing as a business person. You understand that? If you don't keep no record, you don't do so well. It's just like we teach you in this church, keep record of what you are spending your money on. If you don't keep a record and have a budget and stick to it, you soon get into trouble and get into debt. And you don't even know the root cause of it. The root cause of it is that you did not. But if you keep track, you go back and you check yourself. And that is exactly what resentment is about. You keep record so that you can keep track of it. You see, you keep record of the person who hurt you. You keep record of the person who despised you. You keep record of the person who disrespected you. You keep record of the person who has caused you so much pain. And you roll it in your mind all the time. Every month you write a report. You print a report of the records of your transactions. That's what accounting people and book people do. Every month they print transactions. And for you, it's like every day, every week, or every sight, or every head, every sound of that person, you begin to print your own report and start going through it painstakingly, keeping track of it. And like an accounting person who keeps track to make sure they are making profit, the profit that you get is more hurt, more pain, more bitterness, more disappointment, more hatred. That's what resentment does. We choose to keep that record. So for that reason, we have a choice to choose to let go and not keep record of that wrong. David chose to be resentful towards Joab. Now, who is Joab? Joab is the chief of staff and nephew of David. There's someone at the door if someone will help them. Joab is the chief of staff of David's army. Literally, he was David's commander. And when you are chief of staff at that time, when the king goes to war, you're the guy who stood with the king. And if the sword is coming, you're the one who take it for him. You're the one who take the spear. You're the one who says that it's my life or my death and not that of the king. If you get to the king, come through me. That was the kind of person. You are loyal, you are faithful, and you are there to put your life on the line for the king. And that was who Joab was. And what is even interesting that he was his nephew. He was his sister's son. So he really was somebody who was close to his heart, isn't it? But then at the point of his death, he said, remember Joab and make sure that he does not die in peace. Why was that? And remember Shemaiah, the Benjamite. Shemaiah was a Benjamite, a relative of David. He was family. And let me roll back a little bit and drill down for you, so that we can understand these two characters that being mentioned here. In case you missed the names, just listen to the message and keep track of what we are trying to say. We say resentment is a choice. Now, what happened was that David chose to resent these two people but did nothing about his son Absalom, right? David had another son, oldest son, called Absalom. And before I come to those two people that I mentioned, I'm not losing it, is that Absalom chose to undermine his father. He was the guy who wanted to be king, even when his father was still king. So when people came to Jerusalem to see the king for counsel, he would be at the door and said, "Oh, you are welcome. We are warm and welcoming. Welcome to Jerusalem. How far have you come from?" "Oh, that far." He will get somebody to come and wash your feet and make sure he towel it. If you are somewhat of substance, he will even bow the knee towards you, even though he was the king's son, prince. And he will listen to your story first. But it was not his duty to do that. He would like to listen to your story. And as he listened to your story, when he hears this, he said, "Oh, if only I am king, I would have resolved your problem so quickly." He continued doing that. And people began to believe in him. So he eventually managed to actually get the minds of some of the people who were close to David to follow him. And one day he marched to Jerusalem and he chased his father David out of Jerusalem, the capital, his seat. He chased him out of Buckingham Palace. And David was running for his life with Joab by his side and a few people, even his chief counselors, Ahithophel, and the rest, and the former army general of Saul, called Abner, went on the side of Absalom. And David became a homeless guy, walking around, looking for somewhere to sleep. And you would have thought David would have been quite upset with his own son, isn't it? Amazingly, he wasn't. He loved Absalom. He loved Absalom so much that he did not even see what Absalom did. But Joab, who is army captain, he kept this. He was saying, "Look at us, king. You are the king of Jerusalem. You have nowhere to sleep. You are the king of Israel. And there's nowhere for you to lay your head. You lead these 12 tribes, and now you have no tribe to even go to." David was walking aimlessly over the desert, under a rocky place, hiding. And whilst in one of these places, whilst he was going, this guy, Shemaiah, from the tribe of Benjamin, his relative, came out and he cursed David. He said all the bad things that you could hear about David. "Does it sound like you? You haven't done somebody no wrong, and the person curses you till you die. The person says all manner of evil against you." And at that time, Joab looked at Shemaiah and just said, "My Lord, let me cut him into pieces. This man is a worthless dog. I will cut him into pieces. No brainer. Easy work. I'm an army general. That man, before he draws his sword, I will cut off his head." David said, "Just leave him." But David kept that pain. He disrespected the king of Israel. He made him look that small. He despised him. And how many people have despised you, made you look so small, hurt you? And maybe at that time you couldn't do anything about it and you kept the pain and you walked away. That time David couldn't do anything about it. After all, he had nowhere to sleep, so what's the point in going to kill somebody in case the whole village rises against him? So he kept those things. Let's come to Joab again. Joab never forgot what Absalom did. And one day, a fight broke out between David's army. The people who followed David were about 200, 300 people. And they were not even amazing people. They were just ordinary people. But they were loyal to David. And they hung around with him. And when they hung around with him, when the fight broke out, amazingly, David's men routed Absalom's people. Then Absalom pretended that he was going to be a man of peace, possibly with a white flag, coming riding on his donkey. And apparently he had a very long hair. And there was a forest area. He had to go through that. And as he was riding, his hair got caught in those trees, the branches, and was hanging around. And one of the people who followed David got there and saw him and went to Joab and said, "Joab, you know what? I saw Absalom, your father's usurper, that rebellious son who has made King David homeless and us hungry. We who were privileged in the palace, now we are scrapping for a food bank." At that time, there wasn't any. But there was some guy, if we read the chapter in 1 Kings chapter 2, they said, "Remember this guy and bless him and don't do nothing to him." That guy, you know what he did? When David was scrapping for food, he actually brought in bags of bread and sugar and all those things to David to eat. So you think food bank started only last year, 2 years ago? Those days, thousands of years ago, it was there. So there's nothing new in the other Ecclesiastes tells us. Nothing new. Everything that is happening has happened before. God has figured it out. So let's bring ourselves back to this story. I'm telling you this so that you know the background, so that when I begin to rush off, you know exactly where we're going. And this, Joab said, "And you saw Abner, you saw Absalom, and he did nothing to him?" The guy said, "Yeah, I saw him. And he did not cut him into pieces. If you did, I would have given you about 2,000 pounds in your pocket for free. And I have given you a few pieces of gold, silver to go with it, if you had killed him." So Joab went, and he saw Absalom, David's son, hanging. He couldn't think twice. He just took his sword and spear and then jabbed him whilst he was still hanging and dangling. And 10 of Joab's armor bearer, because he was a very important person. Remember, an army general. So he had 10 people who were his bodyguards. They came and each one of them pierced Absalom. And they killed Absalom. And they sent someone to David and said, "David, your son, today rejoice, for God has vindicated your enemies." That's what they said. You think that David will be so happy? "Yes, I'm going back to my palace." He was so upset and cried and wept. "Oh, Absalom, my son, oh, I wish I was dead instead of you." Really? So you think about how Joab will feel. So straight away, Joab knew that what he had done was wrong. He made Joab feel so bad. So Joab knew that his life was on the line. But because he was loyal to David, David never did anything to him. But he harbored that pain that he killed his beloved son, Absalom. "If my son undermined me that way, you won't be my beloved." But David saw it differently. And you have a case. If someone hurt you so much, the person will not be your beloved, will it? The person will not be your best friend. You will not send that person a Christmas card or send a Valentine card to that person, will you? You will not be doing that. Probably won't be me. Maybe you guys are more Christian than I am. But that was the issue. So that gives us the background why David wanted Joab to be killed. Because Joab broke his heart. He hurt him deeply. He forgot. David really forgot what Absalom did. But he was more interested in what Joab and Shimei did. See, resentment is a choice. In the sense that David could have chosen to kill Abner, who was the captain of Saul, who sided with his son Absalom. But he decided to do nothing about Abner. Why? Because Abner was protecting his beloved son, Absalom. Yet Abner was not David's friend. Abner was the guy who was by the side of Saul when Saul was pursuing David to kill him. So he was an enemy. Yet suddenly he became a nice man because he was protecting his beloved son. Are you following so far? So there's a few names that I'm mentioning. I know the story, so you probably don't know. But this week, please, I beg you, follow the readings and you'll get it for yourself. So what we are trying to say is that you choose to be resentful. And you can be very, very selective in who you choose to be resentful to and who you choose to forgive. Why don't you either resent everybody or forgive everybody? Resentful is a choice. And please be careful about that. Joab, as if that was okay with him, he also harbored resentment in his own heart. And guess what? He eventually killed Abner with his brother Abishai. There was a cause for it. The cause for it was that Abner killed Joab and Abishai's brother in war. So you see that every resentment that comes has a reason. You may be justified. Joab may feel, I am justified to kill this man who is a bad guy, who started with Absalom to make us homeless and humiliated us. I am the king's chief commander, and look at me sleeping rough and living rough and going to the food bank and begging for food and all over the place, being humiliated. I have nothing to hold on to. He was justified. Maybe Abner can also say, look, this is war, fair game. Sometimes people who hurt you think it's fair game. They think it's all right to do what they are doing. They are not thinking about you. It is fair game. You are a fair game to them. Somebody will make sure that they do everything for you to lose your job. It's fair game for them. Somebody will make sure that there's everything that they will do so that you do not go on in life. It's fair game for them. Someone will do everything to break your relationship. It's fair game for them. Especially when you are hurt by someone, it is easy for you to want to hurt somebody too. Do you see that? Joab was hurt by Abner and all the emotional roller coaster they had to go through all those years. And to top it all, his brother was killed. So he harbored something in his heart. So we're talking about two people who have a resentment. And Joab's bit and then killing somebody. David did not like Abner. But the fact that Abner was killed, he really didn't like it. You know why he didn't like it? Because he has given his word that Abner will be protected. And then Joab killed Abner. What does it say of David? It says, David, you have no backbone. You're a king, but you have no backbone. I am in charge. David felt so small. You are commander-in-chief, but only by name. I am the one who called the shots. And David didn't like that. He felt despised. And sometimes our resentment as a result of somebody despising us, somebody making us feeling that small. Do you know that? Maybe the person might not come and beat you physically, but emotionally and psychologically, he will make you feel that small. What will you do? David felt very violated by what Joab did. Being resentful can be selective in the sense that resentfulness because resentfulness can be selective in that one would have thought David would hate Abner more than Joab. But Abner was seen as more righteous and honorable than Joab. Joab felt hurt, isn't it? And sometimes somebody hurt us so much because we ourselves look at that person and think, you know what, I love you, so I will not do anything. But other persons, we take that offense. Why do you love that person and take offense at the other? Because love does not keep record of wrong. Isn't it? Because love does not keep record of wrong. That's why you let that person go. So the other person that you are resentful towards, you cannot say that you love that person. The Bible said, how can we say we love God and we cannot, God we can't see, and we love our brother whom we cannot see? And we hate our brother whom we cannot see. You see, how can he say that God forgive me my trespasses? But then, as I do not forgive others who trespass against me. Is that a prayer, yes or no? Father, forgive my trespasses, as I do not forgive those who trespass against me. The prayer is actually, forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. You see, trespassing, as the English language goes, I'm not a legal person, I have a little understanding. You see, you have a property, it's rightfully yours. Nobody should come in if you say, don't come, right? And if you find somebody who's on your land or your property that you have not asked the person to be there, the person has trespassed, you have every right to chuck that person out. Isn't that right? And sometimes people just violate your premises. They violate your space. They violate your peace. They violate the kind of person that you are. They mess you about. They come in uninvited and mess you about. Just like a thief would do. A thief always trespass, isn't it? You work so hard and you get something that you cherish and somebody come and take it. The person has trespassed and violated you. And sometimes you even feel scared to go into your own home because you're thinking, what else did the person see? You have a right to do everything. You see, in the many years back, you had a right to even kill the thief. But these days, if you do, the law even will protect the thief and leave you. So please don't do it. So what we say is that sometimes we choose to see what is right and what is wrong. But likewise, we also have the right to choose to say, you know what, I want to be selective in the positive way, that even though I've been violated, made small, and trespassed against, I'll forgive. Hallelujah. There's always a cause of why you'll be harboring resentment. There's always a root cause of harboring that. And for Joab, it was he being made homeless, he losing his privileges, his brother being killed by Abner. And for David, the root cause was the fact that Joab killed his beloved son. That was the root cause of it. That single action hurt David greatly. And he never forgot it for 10 to 15 years. He harbored it even at the point of his death. The root cause of resentment is not, if not addressed, can lead to projection. And that is exactly what happened. You see, here we're saying that resentment can be cancerous. So do something about it. Joab paid the price for the humiliation David had. David experienced humiliation because of his own son. And instead of tackling his son, guess what? He tackled somebody else. And if you harbor resentment, every now and then you singe someone who come into your life. You're walking in anger. And maybe that person has done absolutely nothing to you. And the person crossed you in the wrong way. And the person gets the full blow of your anger. Of your hatred. Sometimes maybe your manager out there who hurt you. Or somebody who spoke to you in a very bad way. I remember once I was working with a guy of equal standing, but me just slightly up on him. And one of our directors, I don't know what this guy did. He intimidated this guy, that this guy sometimes will be sitting down. I mean, a serious accountant, finance manager, and his knees were shaking because the director was berating him for having done something wrong, which is a mistake. And this guy will sometimes shake like a leaf. And he couldn't do anything about it because he was a director. And he's just a finance manager about three levels down. But because of his money, he had to come to work. And somehow, I happened to be over him. So what that did was that it produced resentment for the authority over him. So the moment he sees me, he gets angry. It's as if I was the one causing him pain. See, resentment brings projection. Sometimes his problem is that you walk too upright. And I'm thinking, what do I do? I'm not an old man. As soon as I get do you bathe in aftershave or something? I say, well, why don't you get some for yourself and smell good? Everything I say was just negative to him. You see, I wasn't the issue. The issue was the person who was violating him. But I get the blow. And somehow, probably you are getting the blow in your home, or sometimes you are actually redirecting it to somebody. And in church, people do always direct it when they are being intimidated by some people in authority, they direct it toward their leadership. Because their leadership is the problem. And they may not have done even anything. It's just that you are a symbol of authority for them. So, let's come back to resentment can be cancerous. And I've been shown the time, so I have to make sure I push through this message a little bit. Resentment can be cancerous. It can be like cancer that corrupts people and spread out to those around you and color them too. It can completely affect their lives and who they become. David kept resentment in his heart and passed that on to his son Solomon, even at the point of his death. Solomon killed Joab by the hand of Benaiah. I know somebody called Benaiah in this church. Please don't come and kill me. So that's what we say. Benaiah became the new army captain for Solomon. That is David's son. You see, because David passed on that resentment, said, make sure that his head, he will not go to his grave in peace. Effectively, I want you to kill this man if you want to live in peace. And Solomon kept that in his heart. King Solomon, the wise Solomon. You remember what David used to say? You're a wise man. You know what to do. That's what he said. Give him the sign. You know what to do. He passed on his pain. He passed on his resentment into his son. And see, contrary to the fact that Solomon wrote five books of poetry, and the first 20 years he did an amazing thing, and we still read Proverbs, and we are so excited about him. The last 20 years of Solomon, all the resentment came through, and his life was just a mess. He hated people. He treated people as slaves. He taxed them heavily. He resented anybody who stood up against him. He killed them. And those he couldn't kill, he married their daughters so they would not come and fight him. So he ended up having 1,000 of them, 700 wives and 300 bits on the side. 1,000 he had them because he couldn't fight them. And that is Solomon. By the time he was dying, Solomon had so much hatred in his heart, you couldn't believe it. Where did it come from? His father passed it on to him. So I'm saying that is the cancer that he got. So I beg you, if you have resentment in your heart, let go, because you pass it on to your children. Because sometimes some people, when we hate somebody, we have a row with somebody, we tell our kids, don't talk to him. Oh, don't talk to them. Don't look at that people. And things like that. I can be righteous and I said, I never said that to my children. Never, once. Even when I'm going through problems, like Catherine messed me about, not really. Right, not really, no. You're a nice person. Absolutely nice, that's true. You see, and when people are messing me about, I never tell my kids, oh, look at that person, watch him. He's a danger. I never said that. you are here, right? Okay? You see my children, ask them whether this thing is true or not. But that is true as far as I'm concerned. So here we are. If you pass it on, become cancerous, and for several generations it happens. And Solomon also passed it on to his son Rehoboam, and he also became cancerous and bitter, and to the point that his kingdom tore into two. That we had a northern kingdom, Israel, and a southern kingdom, Judah. A kingdom torn into two. He lost the big part of the kingdom. 10 kingdoms went away. He only had 2. Effectively, he had only 1, because Benjamin was a small, kingdom and was swallowed by it. So, my brothers and sisters, resentment can be passed on. And when it's passed on, it doesn't help anybody. Right? And resentment can also... What did I do? Okay. Resentment can produce hatred, and hatred can become a passion and make you who you are. That is exactly what Solomon became. Hatred became a passion for him. All these things you don't seem to know, do you? Hello? Because preachers don't tell you these things. It's in the Bible so that we can learn. Because everything in the Bible is for our knowledge, for our understanding, so that we can avoid these things. These days, preachers only tell you the good side. Because they either want your money, or because they want you to keep coming to church. I really want you to come to church, but I want to look at it in a different way. I want to tell you the truth, so the truth will set you free. Amen? Amen? Amen. And that is exactly that. Because hatred will make you who you are. Solomon became twisted and angry. His son Rehoboam became exactly the same, and he died in a very sad way. Very, very sad way. Humiliated, taken to exile in Egypt, and brought back and told that you never will be a king. And if you ever say you are a king, you are in trouble. Imagine that. He was made as small. So resentment is a passion, and resentment can destroy you. Resentment produced spiritual bankruptcy. Solomon became spiritually bankrupt by the time that he was dying after his reign Israel for 40 years. And I told his son was spiritually bankrupt. He didn't even have much of God in him anyway. Because he saw hatred in his father. He saw resentment in his father. He saw all the bad things that his father was doing. And all that he knew was to do badness. So there was nothing good in him. When we become resentful, we can cut out our own spiritual vitality. One of the things that Solomon did was to get rid of his chief priest at the time. Why? Because his chief priest and his older brother, another older brother of him called Adonijah, got together as friends. And what happened was that Adonijah was the firstborn, and therefore he technically had to become king because Absalom was dead. But David had anointed Solomon as his king because he loved Solomon's wife and Solomon's mother too. So Solomon became king, and Adonijah didn't like that. And what happened? He got rid of the chief priest. He said, you know what? You haven't done me no wrong. But because you are siding with those people, you are his friend, you're no more chief priest. So he got his own chief priest. And we know what happened. The church became the church for all sorts. Not all sorts of people, but all sorts of worship. Evil worship, idol worship, and Christian worship. The church was a mess. So when you keep resentment, what happens is that you cut off what makes you spiritual. You just get rid of some of these things. You just get rid of your priest, the people who will be there to help you. You just don't want them anymore because you are so angry. You don't want to talk to your small group leaders. You don't want to talk to your pastors. You don't want to talk to anybody who have any spiritual insight to tell them, look, you are hurting yourself emotionally. You are becoming bankrupt. And your latter years is going to make you a mess. And injustice is going to fill you up. You just cut them off because they're not telling you what you want to hear. Are you with me? Remember, I've always said you have a right to be angry. You have a right to feel despised. But will you let it go? When you become resentful, it becomes the root of all evil for us. Hebrews 12, 14, and 15 says, do what is right. Do what is spiritual. Keep your spiritual vitality up. And do not let any root of bitterness, any bitterness get into you because it develops root and that root will destroy you. To keep your spiritual vitality up, to keep your spiritual activities up, and to keep closer to God, please don't let bitterness rule in your heart. Because anyone who's bitter, you see that you soon lose your connection with God. You soon lose your energy and your love for God. You soon lose any ability that comes into you that wants you to worship God. You become dispassionate. And you become lethargic, you become apathetic. There's no yearning in your heart for God anymore. Because the God that is in your mind is the person that you are hating, the person that has hurt you, and literally throwing around the story over and over and over in your head. And by the end of the day, the story has even changed from where it was because you've made your own story in your own head. That's what resentment does. Resentment allows someone else to control your life. And that is what happened. Solomon lived for most of his life with the words from his father controlling his life. Don't forget Joab. Don't forget Shemaiah. You are a wise man. Make sure that they don't go into their grave in peace. Kill them. It was always ringing in his ears. And Solomon knew who made him king. So he would not disobey him even in his death. He probably would go to the graveside and say, Dad, you know what? What you told me? I'm working on it. And always thinking, how can I kill Joab, my father's army commander? How can I kill Shemaiah, who despised my father and did not bring him bread or wine to drink when he was running from my big brother? Now, let us deal with resentment. So how do we do this? I would say resentment exacts a very high price from anyone who would choose to possess it. If we want to be free from it, then the following steps are critical to our well-being. Think it through. Step back to get the whole picture of what is going on. Ask yourself, why am I so resentful towards the person that I hate, or I dislike, or has hurt me? The reason why you are holding on to it is because psychologically it gives you superiority over the other person you resent because you feel more righteous. I have been wrong. They haven't. But when they tell their story, it's totally different from what you think it is. You may think, oh, they're telling lies, but that's their story. It's your story against theirs. So think about it. You hold on to it because you feel you are superior, you are more righteous. They are in the wrong, they are in the wrong, they are in the wrong, they are in the wrong. I'm in the right, I'm in the right. You know what? I've been hurt so much in my life, probably more than all of you, even though I'm not the oldest. But you know what? A whole lot of them, after going through so much pain, I chose not to let it send me to my grave. I chose not to pass it on to my children as a last word. So I decided to move on. And thinking it through, sometimes I recognize where I myself made some mistakes. And I go to God like David did in his good times. He said, Lord, I am so sorry. I got these things wrong. I didn't see that before, but I now see that. Please forgive me. Let me not hang on too much to those pain that I'm going through. As you mentally rehearse the story to yourself over and over again, your mind only gives you pleasure and right and religious justification or pride. But ask yourself, is it worth to enjoy this neurotic pleasure and risk your health? Secondly, I said write it down. Write it down. When you write it down, while you are filled with resentment and you read it out aloud to yourself, you will see it is not the same as how you feel about a situation. Putting it down on paper will help you regain the perspective of what is going on. Like, you can start something like, I am feeling resentment towards Mr. Whoever because X, Y, Z. And then when you read it, you're thinking, did I really write that? Can I actually go and paste this in my workplace, or can I actually wear a t-shirt with that? I resent Pastor Gideon Nash, and my name is Duane. Well, he said yes. I'll forgive you, Duane. You see, because you are so religious, you are so pious, you are so Christian, you don't want to wear that. So if you don't want to wear that, why do you want to wear it in your heart? You understand that? Putting it down on paper will help you regain perspective of the situation. Work it out. That's the third point. That's two more points I'm done. Work it out. Get to do some physical exercise. Get to spin-a-ton. And when you are doing spin-a-ton, I promise you, you will not be thinking of Pastor Gideon who is vexing you and preaching so long. Work it out. You see, or go and do some walking. Do some physical exercise. Something that will engage your mind and your body instead of churning the pain in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. So what we're saying is that, guys, if you do something out, God is going to be a blessing to you. You see, it will help you refocus your emotions on something else that will be good for your health instead of being good to your, being bad to your health. Do something meaningful to occupy your mind and body. Fourth point, talk it out with the Lord. You see, most of us, we go and talk out our pain with our friends and our neighbors and everything. You know what? They can only hear as much. And I can assure you, go and tell them 10 times and they get bored. They're thinking, gosh, I've heard this before. Why, when will you stop telling me the same thing? You see, but because they are friends, they will listen patiently. And sometimes they switch off. So there's no solution for you, my brother, my sister. Express to God how you really feel in prayer. How many times do you see even David himself? Sometimes he'll pray and say, God, you know what? My enemies have made me messed about. And I'm hurting. One of the prayers that I love to pray for myself most of the time is, God, I'm hurt. Can't you see I'm really hurt? I'm struggling to cope. I mean, your Bible says love your enemies, but this is hard for me to love my enemy. If I have a sword like Joab, I'll probably pierce that person too. But help me to cope with this. This is a true prayer that I pray. And as you begin to do things like that, God is going to help you. Because the Bible said, if you do not forgive those who trespass against you, that is the only line of prayer that was actually repeated twice in the Lord's Prayer. If you do not forgive those who trespass against you, the Lord will not forgive you. And when God repeats something in a short space of time, a second time, that means that this is important. Take note and do something about it. You need God's grace to be able to deal with this. So ask him. Think of all the forgiveness God has met. I mean, giving your method out to you. And you will begin to see the hypocrisy of holding resentment against others. God's forgiveness is the grace given you to forgive others. Last point. Get it out. Get it out means be good forgetters. People say, I can forgive, but I cannot forget. I hear that. I can forgive, but not forget. But why wouldn't you forget? You're keeping it so that one day You pull it out as an accountant. I've kept record of it. I said, okay, you know what? I forgive you last time. This time you've done it again. Now this time I'm going to actually do something about it. Please be intentional and be good forgetters. You see, this world can be very cruel. And some people can really, really, really hurt us. And I just want to beg you, my brothers and my sisters, be good forgetters. You know you are in the right. They couldn't care less about you. They don't care how you feel. That's why they did what they did against you. But are you going to keep it? Or are you going to forget it? When you give it to God, you then can tap into his reservoir of strength, which is the love of God. Love does not take account of wrong that are suffered. Love doesn't write down and keep record of the wrong that are done. Love looks for a chance to erase the record of wrongs at every opportunity, to forgive and to clean our hearts so we can be free, sweeter, healthier in every respect. Hallelujah. So, that's my story for you today. How do we deal with resentment? Is it keeping resentment can be damaging to your emotional and relational well-being. Solomon became damaged by the resentment passed on by his father, David. Resentment will affect your spiritual and physical vitality. Talk it out to the Lord and let go. Amen.